The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So you're off on your holidays and you're planning on bringing back lots of souvenirs. But what exactly are you allowed to bring back into the country? Because you might be surprised to learn there's quite an array of goods that you cannot bring in under an international treaty known as CITES. The regulation prohibits certain wildlife products from being brought back into the country. And the Minister of State for Nature, Heritage and Biodiversity, Christopher O'Sullivan, is here to tell me what I may not bring home. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Pat. How are things?
Now, this CITES regulation, the Convention on the International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. It's no wonder they've shortened it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, all right, Pat. But all the same, it's a really important convention and it's something that Ireland is proud to be part of, along with about 184 other countries. We know worldwide, and it's something you've covered a lot in your show, Pat, in terms of the threats that there are to wildlife in particular, be that habitat destruction being one of them, things like illegal hunting, climate change is contributing. But one of the key factors we found is wildlife trade and illegal wildlife trade at that. So we put all these pressures on these wild species and then we make it worse by, I suppose, trading in different type of products. So.
Now, there'll be specialists who'll go off in search of that wonderful orchid. They want to bring it home. It blooms for one day a year, etc. Or something that maybe eats caterpillars. I don't know. But it's more the inadvertent tourist that can buy something that they don't know is banned under this regulation.
Yeah, I guess that's the message, certainly, that I would have for Irish people who look, holidaymakers who are going abroad at the moment, is to be vigilant when you are buying that product, wherever it is. First of all, ask what that product is made of. And I suppose the easy example I could give, Pat, is, a wallet. We quite often see wallets made of snake skin. And that is something, snake skin and snakes are species that are covered under the CITES.
So no snake skin wallet or boots or anything like that?
Yeah, things like watches. You get a lot of these trinkets that are often made from hawksbill turtle, the shell, which are, again, covered under a they're broken up into different appendix. It's quite complicated, but you've got appendix 1, 2, and 3, 1 being the most serious. So they're the type of things that we check. And it's easy. You might ask the question, where would you check that? And the MPWS website, mpws.ie, they have quite a handy resource where you can check whether or not that product, because, you could be stopped at customs and the item could be confiscated. And furthermore, if it's a serious breach, there could be a significant fine. So we would ask people certainly to be vigilant.
Now, you see fellas going along the beaches with their stuff and they're flogging you all sorts of things, be it straw hats or whatever it might be, and they might sell you some sort of trinket. It's unlikely to have ivory in it. Not in that kind of context, because ivory is expensive.
That's a fair point. I mean, a lot of these items that you're talking about there that would be sold on the beaches would most likely be made from some type of synthetic. So
plastic.
I think that's less of a risk. But certainly if you're going into more of the high-end areas, certainly check. And it's just not worth the risk. And just think about the consequences of what you're doing. A lot of these species are on the brink of extinction. And their poaching and the illegal hunting of these species is just putting further pressure on them. So it's through that combined coordination of countries that we can actually make a difference and take these pressures off.
Now, there's something that people will see in shops in various parts of the world, and that is coral. And coral, I mean, it's dead by the time you get it in the shop, and it might be coloured, but that is something you should not bring home.
No, absolutely. Again, it's covered under the appendices under the CITES regulation, so it's something that will be confiscated. And I know people do try different ways to circumvent customs, etc. But again, look, it's been widely, broadcast and shared now in terms of the impact that we're having on reefs around the world. There's different, contributing factors to that. You have more acid rain, you have warming climates, you have warming seas. But then when you compound that with people actually taking coral when they're diving or when they're scuba diving or snorkeling, this all contributes to it. So again, that's something I would ask people to be vigilant.
Something I wouldn't have thought of. We always talk about putting a feather in your cap. You might bring a straw hat home with an exotic feather in it.
Well,
that could be wrong.
It could be. And this is one of the success stories. And it gives me an opportunity, to point out where we have seen success, where species have been covered by the CITES regulation. So I'm not sure, Pat, how up you are with your birds, but there's a bird we have here called a little egret. It's a beautiful white small heron that you'll get in estuaries and rivers. And they were hunted to almost extinction, particularly in the UK. And they were hunted because they have this beautiful white feather plume at the back of their head. And it was a very sought after ornament attached to a hat. But they stopped the hunting. They made it illegal to have these feathers in your hat, and they covered under CITES. And we've seen these species reboned to a huge extent.
So, you might have had inspectors in the UK going to Royal Ascot and checking out the women's hats.
I'm not sure if that's how they went about it, but certainly they clamped down on it. And I guess, you know, in the fashion world, Pat, it's a bit easier to police because it's quite obvious if someone is wearing a real fur coat or is wearing a real feather in their hat. And sometimes, you know, you can tell the synthetic materials a bit easier. It's the kind of medicines and food products that are a bit more difficult in order to...
Now, things like plants. People might fancy a plant they see somewhere and go to a garden centre and buy... could be seed they'd buy, or maybe they'll buy a seedling and, you know, bring it home, hope it survives. Are those purchases illegal?
Some are, and this particular conference that we're having in Dublin today, the focus is on plants, because I think with the animals it's quite obvious. There's a lot of outrage because you see the slaughter of the animals. Plants are a bit different because they kind of go under the radar. But, you know, certainly there are things like cacti, really rare cacti that you can find in some shops.
And they will survive because they don't require regular watering.
Where they don't survive is on transit, and that's where a lot of these species are lost in our transit. And look, some rare species of plants and orchids are propagated in controlled areas like greenhouses, and we found that is a way to protect the species in the wild, so that's okay. But if that has been taken from the wild, it's an absolute no-no, so certainly be vigilant there.
What about traditional medicine? I mean, what kind of stuff do people bring back?
Yeah, so I guess that's one of the key, the key things that we find in Ireland from a point of view of breaches. You get bulk medicines in particular that are being shipped into the country where they will consult with MPWS and find that there is an illegal substance. The main thing there is shark fins, and you may have seen some horrific images of sharks being slaughtered and essentially the entire carcass just being left in the water, and the shark fin is the only thing that's taken, and it's put into traditional medicines, as you've rightly said. So that is a serious, serious issue. It's something that from an Irish context as well, we see these bulk medicines coming in and to our shipping ports mainly. So that's a big issue as well, that this CITES regulation. And this is about kind of joining together to find out how we can better regulate these things.
Yeah. Now, a final thing is a new €7 million open call for project proposals under the European Innovation Partnership. What's that about?
Yeah, this is something I'm very excited about, Pat. As a keen bird lover and bird watcher, look, something I'm very acutely aware of is the threats to our native bird species here in Ireland. And one of the, I suppose, families of birds that we're losing on the fastest rate is farmland birds. And that's because of change in practices in farming. And that's something that has been pushed and promoted over the years. So there's no fingers being pointed here. But what we're doing is we're going to collaborate through an EIP, which is a European Innovation Project, and €7 million funding to work with farmers along the south coast, right from Wexford to Cork, where tillage is quite a popular form of farming, to try and encourage farmers and pay them to amend farming practices in some small ways. So it might be growing a material, it might be leaving stubble on the field over winter, it might be the type of crop that you grow. So we're targeting species like yellowhammer, beautiful yellow farmland bird, kestrel, which would be well known, hen harrier, which overwinter on these species. So we've seen this work in other with wading birds. We've seen it work with corncrake life, which we've seen iconic species bounce back by about 40% when we work in collaboration with farmers. And what I've seen is farmers are really up for this, so it's really encouraging. Yeah,
and then it's disappointing when you find a dead eagle poisoned by somebody.
Yeah, that's bad news story that we've had there in recent months in relation to the white-tailed eagle reintroduction program. It's been unbelievably successful. We're at about 15 breeding pairs now, which we feel is enough to
critical mass.
Exactly. It means we can have a stable population and the population can now go on and grow because there's such suitable habitat. But what's hindering us is illegal poison. And the white-tailed eagle may not be the target of this poison. What usually happens is a carcass is left out. It's laced with poison, probably targeting things like foxes. And the poor eagle comes along and takes it. And it's completely uncalled for. We will be stamping down on this type of behaviour. It's a legal poison, carbiforin, which has been used.
Does the National Parks and Wildlife Service have the resources and do they have the powers?
We've certainly increased the resources. So we now have a whole division dedicated to wildlife crime within National Parks and Wildlife Service. We've doubled the staff in the National Parks. It's been a real success story over the last number of years. What I would love to see actually is to have a similar unit, a dedicated unit to wildlife crime within An Garda Síochána. We have great collaboration collaboration with an Garda Síochána. We do have the legislation is there under the Wildlife Act to allow prosecutions, but I think better collaboration we will see. It's tough to prove when a carcass is left out in poison in terms of who did it. Something like a bird that has been shot is probably easier to prosecute, but certainly, look, the will is certainly there, and we will clamp down on any of this activity. But the good news story is that these species, after 150 years away from our skies, are now back in our skies, and they're here to remain, as far as I'm concerned.
Christopher O'Sullivan, Minister of State for Nature, Heritage and Biodiversity. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.